Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, live in St. Joseph, Missouri. Nate Bucati, live in Overland Park, Kansas, along with Jake Gutierrez and Jamie Bluma. What's up, Bluma? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing? How is St. Joseph's?
Perfect. Good. Perfect weather.
I need to get up
it's
there
great.
Sometime.
I don't know why you don't.
I don't
watch some football. Watch some football!
I've never been to training camp.
I think you'd like it.
I think I would.
It's beautiful. They do a great job at Missouri Western State University of hosting training camp. I don't say that just because I attended that school for 2 years and I had some of the best times that I remember and don't remember. But I have one Jim Clutter, who was my college roommate, who documented many of those things and reminds me of some of the things, like, oh yeah, okay, well, if you say so.
Take your word for it.
Yeah, you need guys like that in your life.
Yeah, but luckily maybe not smartphones back in those days, you know, to actually really document
right.
all of it.
That's the only reason I'm not in prison.
Wow.
And I'm not
maybe one day
I'm not in a cell next to you.
maybe one day we could have Jim Clutter on the show to talk about when, for some reason, J.R. Ryder was in our dorm room. So
Easy Ryder,
nice,
right? All right, Bluma. Well, last week I said, watch, the Royals are going to be red hot until the trade deadline, and so then they won't make any trades because they'll believe that they are very close to contending, and then they will go in the tank after the trade deadline. So far, they've been swept by the Blue Jays after the trade deadline, so they're 0-3, and it seems like they've come back down to earth. And look, it is what it is. I can't sit here and keep complaining about all this because, I mean, it does me no good. They did trade Jorge Soler, which at one point a month ago, I think we'd have been happy if they got a bag of baseballs for him. They did trade Danny Duffy, which we won't be able to judge that trade until we find out who the players to be named later are. But a guy that's going to be a free agent that's on the IL for the next several weeks, anything you get for him is a plus there. But I'm still somewhat disappointed because of the frenzy that the trade deadline was, and there was a market for relievers. There was a market for guys like Carlos Santana. And I won't even go to Whit Merrifield. I'll go to Mike Minor and Carlos Santana and Scott Barlow. There was a market for those guys. They didn't take advantage of it. So now they got to win next year to justify that. They have to, because that's the whole point. Because Santana is got 1 year left on his deal. Mike Minor's got 1 year left on their deal. So you're saying that you're going to win next year, and that's why you didn't want to trade those guys. And so for you, in your mind, what do the Royals need to do to justify not being more active in this extremely active trade deadline?
We're going to have to contend, at least, you know, make a run at 500 next year. With the way we started off this year, I think we thought earlier in the season that was a capable expectation this year, and then it's all fallen apart to some degree since then. Not surprising, though, that we traded the two guys that are free agents at the end of the year, and we kept the guys that are under contract. That's kind of how that Royals do business. We'll see what we get. I wouldn't be shocked if we end up re-signing Duffy this offseason. I think that's probably going to happen. We'll see what we get for Soler, how that shakes out. But you kind of knew that's how that was going to go. I'd have been shocked if we'd have given up Minor or Santana, or especially Barlow, because as Dayton said, he had to be blown away by an offer. So I think he was only going to take probably something more, blow us away more than even him, to get those guys to leave here. So that's the expectation moving forward, of course, is you want to contend next year. I don't know if it's going to happen. We're going to have to see a lot more out of our young starting pitching. And even though we've only lost Soler out of our lineup, I mean, we were completely flat offensively going into that series against Toronto. I know they're all excited that they finally get to play at home for the first time in almost 2 years. But their starting pitching isn't – I mean, they had a rookie on the mound in Manoah. Excuse me. They didn't have Ryu and some of the studs that they have, and for us to only score 5 runs in 3 games, you knew their lineup was going to be exciting and do all that. And I think we actually did a pretty decent job of not giving up some crazy offensive numbers.
Well,
to
they
them
scored
for the
like
series.
5 runs every game, didn't they?
5 or 4.
It.
Yeah, 6,
I mean, which
five.
Is not great, but not terrible.
Not terrible for the lineup that they run out there. So just losing Solaire, we got to have some guys offensively step up. I kind of like what the starting pitching's done. We had won 8 out of 9 going into that series. So Daniel Lynch looking good. A little worrisome about Keller leaving with, you know, stiff lower back. We'll see what we have moving forward. It's good to see Carlos Hernandez kind of stepping up in the absence of Duffy and some other starting pitching. So because we only did a little bit, I thought something might come down to the wire just because of how crazy the trade deadline was there the last few hours, that something may happen. And sounds like there were some inquiries, but nothing ended up shaking out.
So everything that Steven just laid out, I think brings up, okay, so the rest of this season is all about signs that tell you this team is going to be ready to win next year. And, man, I mean, look, in order to believe that, you have to believe in some things that don't exist right now. And that doesn't mean they, or at least they don't exist in front of us, right? And that doesn't mean that you're wrong, because sometimes things happen that, you know, they have to happen for a first time, right? But like what you just laid out, a lot of it's dependent on the young starting pitching taking a huge step forward next year. But the offense also has to take a pretty big step forward because of what you just said. This team can have little spurts where they win games like they did right before the trade deadline. But we also know we've got enough of a body of work now this year to see that they're also capable of just completely going dormant for a while. And you look at it right now, they have one guy in their entire lineup that plays regularly with an OPS of over 800. And that's Salvi. That's it. And when I look at it, who do I think should have, like, because we talk about, well, are they underperforming? Maybe they got a bunch of guys that are just having bad years that are going to pop back up next year and crush the ball. Solaire would have been one of your candidates for that, right?
Right.
Maybe Hunter Dozier. But, like, who else do you look in that lineup and go, well, we know that this guy really is an 850 OPS guy and he's just having a bad year. Like, I just don't really see that. And so now where's the offense going to come from? Bobby Witt Jr. coming up? Nick Prado coming up?
Oh, we can't lean on those guys.
That's not fair to them,
no,
right?
Absolutely,
like, they're going to be,
not.
If they play next year, they're going to be rookies. And we know it's tough.
And
like,
you look at it, the reason that we won 8 out of 9 is because we finally were pitching well.
I'll lean on Bobby Witt Jr. anytime.
But I don't want to put Bobby Witt Jr. in a position like other guys that come up where it's like, it's all on you, man. Carry the team.
Can't do that.
Rookie year. That's not fair to him.
Nope.
I'd like to see him, you know, that. I want to see him be put in the best position to succeed as possible.
We only scored more than 6 runs when we won 8 out of 9 once. So it was because we had pitched well and hit just enough, probably similar to what we've been doing all year. But we finally pitched good and had quality starts in a ton of those games. We won 9-8 against Detroit in that crazy game. But other than that, we never scored more than 7 runs. So, yeah, I don't know where there's going to be more offense coming from. I mean, you could expect a little bit more out of Hunter Dozier, hopefully. He's been swinging the bat a little bit better as of late. I think he's finally to 200, maybe.
Cross your fingers on Edward Olivares. He hit another home run after being called up to replace Solaire. Let's hope that doesn't get him sent down like the last home run.
Right. I don't know why we sent him down last time. So I would like to
rim
see
shot,
him up.
Jake,
and get,
come on. Give it
get,
to me.
Get at-bats for him instead of Dyson, personally.
Right. Oh, we're all in agreement there.
Right.
Olivares play every day for the rest of the season.
Yes, please.
That's part of what Nate's talking about, right?
Yes.
Is there any reason he shouldn't? Come on.
None.
Find out what
every
you got.
Every day. Let's see.
Yeah.
Look, and so that could, I'm just saying, I'm leaving the possibility, that could be an upgrade offensively over Solaire. It could be. I mean, I don't, you know, he went on this, this home run binge he went on, let's not allow that to make us forget how horrific he was the entire first half of the season. So it's not this really high bar that we've set, hey, you got to be better than Soler was for us this year.
Well, and he's going to do things, Olivares is going to do things different than Soler. I mean, Soler's a home run here and there, where Olivares is going to do some other things and play better defense, obviously, for you. So different, completely different player in Olivares than we had in Soler. So hopefully he gets a chance to establish himself at the major league level over the next few months.
Who's the center fielder next year for this team?
That's a great question. I mean, that's kind of what I was looking forward to. If we did trade a Barlow, or Minor, or that we'd get a guy that we could maybe plug into center field. I don't know what.
I'm shocked that they didn't trade Michael A. Taylor.
Right. I mean, I think someone had to have acquired about him just to fill a slot. I don't know. I don't know who we're going to pencil in for center next year. And Kyle Isbell is a guy that I was cautiously optimistic about at the beginning of the year, and he's doing okay in Omaha. Not great, and didn't get much of a chance here. I don't know if Olivares is a guy that's going to – I don't think he's a center fielder long term. We'll see. I don't want to move Witt back out there.
Well, next year when Mondesi's playing every day.
I don't want to hear it.
Who's that?
No. Nope. We ain't doing it.
No, let's not.
I don't even want to hear it. Nope, I really don't.
No.
What are you going to go ahead? What are you going to say?
I mean, you know that's what the team's planning on.
I don't think so.
At this point, you can't plan on that.
I don't think the team is planning on that anymore. How can you?
You can't.
How could you possibly, and they are serious about contending. Let's not get it twisted. We can second guess and criticize. They want to win more than we do. This is their lives.
Yeah.
But going into the month of August with a player with a variety of injuries that's only played 10 games and has had the injury history that he's had, you can't count on him. You can't depend on him for nothing. You just got to hope that he's available to play some games. But you move forward, and your second baseman is Nicky Lopez. He's earned that spot. And your shortstop of the future is Bobby Witt Jr., and then you let everything else fall into place. But that's your middle infield moving forward. And if it's not, they're doing it wrong. Sorry.
Look, I agree with you, but I'm sitting here trying to piece together what makes you think this team's going to contend next year. And we're talking about where's this offense coming from.
We're going to have to go outside the organization.
I mean, Mondesi would be one of the guys that they would look at and say, well, we get Mondesi back next year, and Mondesi can play, and he can run, and he can hit.
You better have a plan B.
Yeah, well, you have to. You have to. But I think they ought to look at him as a center fielder, personally. That's just my opinion. No, you know, nobody wants to – I don't know how many people agree with me on that, but – you know, so but what you just described means what Merrifield.
Well, sure. Look at him
still
as a center fielder, mm-hmm. But then what are you going to do when he's hurt half the season? Then who's going to play center field?
That's a good question.
Well, you're right back in the same boat we've dealt with all year this year.
Maybe. You know what he is now to me?
He
could be a super utility, and if you have him, that's great. Move him around, get him in the lineup, have him DH sometimes, have him spell Nicky, and have him spell Bobby Witt, have him spell Hunter Dozier. But you can't go into next season, they'll go, he's got this spot locked down, this is our guy, because you're just setting yourself up for failure. So if you want to you have him on the team, and you say, okay, there are plenty of teams that use a super utility guy. They get him plenty of at bats and move him around. That's what he's got. You can't count on him. And then if you don't have that guy, that's not wrecking your starting lineup where you have this domino effect. Now you got to move this guy. You got to move that guy. Okay, you got to go. And no, you can't. You got to have your starting nine. You got to have your guys, and then he's a nice bonus where you can move around the diamond, have him play multiple positions. And if he's there, he could help. And if he's not, it doesn't upset the apple cart. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong.
Nate, am I wrong? Nate thinks I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I just, I don't know that the organization is ready to give up on him. And I don't know. Maybe, and I haven't talked to anybody in a while. I haven't asked anybody out there in a
They've
while.
They've got to be at a tipping point.
Well, you would think so, but.
Sure. I think.
Oh, I've talked to someone that I'll tell you the frustration is peaked.
Okay. Good. Yeah, good. I mean, it needs to have. But up until this point, they've been pretty steadfast, right? They've done everything for that kid. So,
And where's he gotten them now?
Right.
Oof. Right?
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear that there's frustration there. Because, I like I said, I'll admit, I haven't asked anybody in a while because I almost didn't want to know what the answer was, you know?
Go get your phone right now and call someone and ask them.
Sounds like you already have.
I want you to, though.
Well, I will.
Call me. Call me right next to the referee. Call me and ask me, and I'll tell you. I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you what I think. You know? I don't think it's any surprise. But I love it. Oh, I'd love it if he played every day. He'd help the lineup. He'd help everything. But he's not gonna. And so you just can't put yourself in the position where you say, nope, Mondesi is our everyday shortstop next year. Nope, you can't do that because he's shown you that that's fool's gold. But what you can do, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Ben Zobrist made a career out of it. I mean, I know Witt's a starting guy, but Witt offers flexibility. Just you got to be creative and understand that he's not an everyday player. He doesn't have the durability to do that for whatever reason. And then you can't. And if you get a lot of games out of him in that capacity, then that's a bonus. And if you don't, it doesn't wreck your plans. That's my only point. That's how you can still try to get something out of him, but also you're set if he doesn't, if he's not available.
Well, I don't even know if he has enough intrigue to be a piece that you could trade in the offseason. He's clearly got very little value right now because he can't get on the field. But if maybe he proves that at the end of the year we do get him back for that stretch run and he does something, maybe he's something that's attractive to somebody else. We package him with, you know, one of the catchers that we have in the minor leagues. We seem to have quite a few catching prospects. We do have a lot of young pitching. I mean, we're going to have to do something with the pieces that we have to try to fill the holes that we're clearly going to have at the highest level if we are going to contend. I don't know. We have to get to 500 before we start talking about contending. But, I mean, that's always the goal.
But the team's not close to 500, and they are talking and they're making decisions based on contending next year. I guess that goes back to the original point that Steven's talking about here. And it's just,
you sound frustrated.
Well,
Nate. I feel for you.
I mean, look, I'm with you. I go back to what you said. Look, these guys want to win more than anybody. That's their lives. You're right. I mean, it's their careers. It's what they spend every minute of their day thinking about and doing. But sometimes you can be too close to the forest to see it for the trees. And I mean, I'm looking at a team that's 13th out of 15th in runs scored in the American League, 13th out of 15th in ERA in the American League. So that means they're at the bottom in pitching, they're at the bottom in hitting. And there are prospects on the pitching front that
so you at least can see from the pitching standpoint that we have an opportunity to take a step forward.
Yeah,
I don't see that on the offensive side.
And
I
even
think that's
then,
your point.
I mean, yeah, and even then, like, I feel like it's optimistic to think that all that pitching is going to take a collective step forward. Some of those guys, to me, aren't going to develop. Some of them aren't producing right now because they're not going to be great big league pitchers. I hope I'm wrong about that. But the history tells you that they're not all going to become studs right away, if ever. And then, like you said, Jamie, on the other side, it's like I don't even see we got a couple guys that have been playing in the big leagues that are about to turn it on. Like, you're hoping the two guys that are crushing it in AAA right now are just going to hit the ground running and be studs right off the bat next year? I mean, where else?
That's asking too much.
I don't know. I just Man, I hope they're right and I'm wrong. You know, I do. I'm rooting for all those guys, but I guess, you know, it's just, it's basing long-term decisions off of the idea that it's all going to go right next year is, I hope it's not irresponsible, that's all.
Well, not everything always goes right. You can't expect everything to go right. Hopefully a couple things go right. You have enough to cover the things that don't go right, and we don't have enough to cover the things that aren't going to go right. So,
Jamie Bluma is our guest, but again, to me, the more important thing that we're talking about as far as the future of the Royals is the young starting pitching and how it develops. Now we've seen a couple of good starts from Daniel Lynch. Chris Bubich has been very, very good recently, so that's a plus. We're still waiting for Brady Singer to get healthy and then the eventual return of Jackson Kowar. So let's focus on the two guys, and we'll throw Carlos Hernandez in there as well. So tell me, before we run out of time, Carlos Hernandez, Chris Bubich, Daniel Lynch, what have you seen from them in their last few appearances, that has led to them having more success?
Just command. I mean, and a little bit more confidence. Hernandez ought to have confidence in his stuff, no doubt. I mean, a guy's throwing 100. But he's been able to command the strike zone with more than one pitch. That's where he's done a better job. Daniel Lynch just have the ability to get strike one. That's the thing that's helped him. He's been a lot better. He's fun. He's going to be a fun guy to watch long term. And Bubich has been able to get his changeup over fastball in the zone, changeups out of the zone, and be able to stay out of the middle of the plate. He was leaving a lot of changeups up middle of the plate, but he's been able to command that a lot better. And he's been able to flip a breaking ball in there for a strike. So it gives him a third pitch for guys to take a look at. I don't think that one thing he didn't have the ability to do that earlier in the year. It was just looked like fastball change. When he's not commanding that, and he's in trouble. Now you can throw a first pitch curveball, give something else for the guy. So overall, I mean, I talk about it. Boddicker talks about it. You hear Monty talk about it. I mean, the ability to get ahead in the count and throw strike one. That every guy's going for that. And those guys, you see what happens with their stuff. When they have the ability to do that, way more success.
When would you bring Kowar back?
Now that Duffy's gone for sure. I mean, there's a spot anywhere in there. I don't think we're going to have to rely on Irvin Santana to get a spot start or anything like that. So I think depending on what happens with Keller's back, in his spot in the rotation next. Don't know for sure what's going to happen there. I think there's an opportunity.
When would you call up Bobby Witt and Nick Prado? Would you do it together? They seem to like to keep, you know, they promoted them to AAA together. Would you bring them up together? Would you do it one at a time? I mean, bringing them up together, would that take any heat off of or any pressure off either one of them? Would you do it at all this season? Would you wait until September? How would you handle that?
I want to see them continue to have success in Omaha. I mean, they've done well to start. They've only been there a couple weeks. They continue to have success down there, both of them. I mean, they're both independent of each other. So it's nice that they came up together this year from AA to AAA. But I don't think you have to continue to do that if you need a guy in a certain position, and give that guy the opportunity as long as he's performing well. I mean, Witt obviously can play more positions on the field. He can play anywhere on the infield, you know, second, third, and short, where Prado's going to be your first baseman type guy. I don't know if Prado's played any of the outfield at all. So if anything, he's going to play first base. But I want those guys to continue to have success and not just push them through just because they had two really good weeks in Omaha, and they seem to be holding their own. So I would expect to see one, if not both those guys by the end of the year. Give them a taste of what it's like up here.
In a year or two, are we talking about Brady Singer in the rotation? Are we talking about Brady Singer, the shutdown reliever or closer?
I think he's going to, long-term, he's going to be a reliever. I've said that since, you know, middle of last year, just because his reluctance to throw a changeup. He's got a good enough fastball, good enough breaking ball. Long term, I think he's going to end up being a bullpen piece for you. I've liked Jackson Kowar overall more than I like Singer, even coming out of college, just because I think he's got a three-pitch mix more so than Singer does. But Singer's also shown the ability to be able to have some good starts with just two pitches. But I think long term, you need that third one. So I see him as a bullpen guy.
Do you think me claiming Chris Bubich again in my AL Roto League was a brilliant move, or am I a moron?
I think that's a good move. I don't know if brilliant would be the word that I would tag to it.
Well, you know. Just trying to get something a little extra there, that's all.
Thinking outside the box. That's you.
Do you have any final questions for Jamie Bluma before we let him go, Nate?
When's Bloomapalooza?
Oh, yeah. Good. Thank you for that. Bloomapalooza, September 25th. Actually, we have updated my website, bloomapalooza.com, and redwhiteandbluma.org. Tickets are available now on Eventbrite.
Boom.
So go ahead and get cracking on that. Travis Marvin, Noe Palma, big silent auction. If you've been in the past, please come again. If you haven't been, come check it out. Also want to give a shout-out to my team yesterday out at Creekmore. We had a golf tournament for K9 unit, raising some money for equipment for some K9 unit and the dogs with Brian and Scott and Sean.
I haven't blocked any of those guys on Twitter, have I?
Nope, you have not.
Good.
They like Gary Lezak and they like peanut butter. So
all right.
I told him I'd talk about that today.
I'll be honest with you. Most people that like Gary like peanut butter and vice versa. So that kind of
strong
goes
crossover
hand in hand,
there.
Doesn't it?
Well, I had to tell the story too of when I took the pie in the face here in studio.
Mm-hmm. Whoa!
And the dogs,
oh,
and the dogs were licking my face.
Oh, yeah.
That was not good.
You didn't like that.
What part didn't you?
Peanut butter face.
What part didn't you like?
What part did I like?
But the way you describe it, there's a many things that could be worse than that.
I think. No, very, very much many things that could be worse than that. But
they licked your face. They licked your face clean, Bluma.
That they did.
Don't licked we have it. Pictures? Can I get a video?
Yeah, we have pictures of it
somewhere, someplace.
That was a while.
And then what if you got some kid? What if your kid looks at you and says, "Whoa." What if a kid says, "Mom or Dad, boy, I wish I could learn how to pitch." Whether it's a young man looking at baseball or a young lady that wants to attack the world of softball, how could they possibly get lessons in baseball?
You can go to our Facebook page, Homefield Kansas City. Give us a call, 913-320-4404. You can always email me, BundyJr19@AOL.com, old school email address. You can find me on Twitter, also BundyJr19, Facebook. I'm not a hard guy to run down.
Get
your kids in for some lessons. About to get fall ball cranking. Weather's ball. Perfect. Wow, this is amazing.
It feels like fall right now.
Woo. Mm-hmm. Oh, and last but not least, but a big shout out to Emily McNeil and her partner, Daryl Simon. Tandemonium has now been named the first place in mixed tandem.
How about that?
There was some...
no cheating.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of
get caught.
Yep, you got a little penalty on the
bub board.
The first place team for turning off their navigation lights.
They didn't have their damn light on, and that's a danger not only
danger
to themselves but the other people on
that's
the
right.
water.
So congratulations to Team Tandemonium for first place in mixed tandem in the MR340. So.
You could say a lot of things about Deepwater Daryl, but one thing I will not let anyone say is that he's a rule breaker. That guy
that's
goes
right.
by the
he is
book.
Not. Mm-hmm. You got to go down and visit Deepwater Daryl and his family and grounds crew over the weekend and deliver his first place trophy and hang out with those guys. So appreciate that whole entire crew, Jacob and Jake, Brian, awesome, Linda, Daryl, fabulous.
So Bluma, you're the
thank
man.
You guys, appreciate it.
Thank you, Jamie Bluma. We'll have some Chiefs sound from up here in training camp. That's where I am in St. Joseph, Missouri, back after this on WHB.